Nothing like worshiping the Lord Jesus, let me tell you. So thankful. We had a thank you for your prayers. We had a great revival, Lee. Thank you for filling in Wednesday night. Heard great things. But let me tell you, it's good to be back up on the mountain, okay? That humidity, I told Sandy, I said, how in the world did we ever live down here? And it wasn't even 80 degrees. Some mornings it felt like it was 100 degrees. I said, when I got stepped out of a truck over here, I said, just feel it. I rolled down the wind on the way in. I said, praise God, let me back on the mountain. But let me tell you, we had a great time. Lord showed up in the revival. Thank you for your prayers. And we're just so thankful for our church and our church home. And thankful for Lee and filling in. And thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, as we continue on with our standards of the master. Matthew chapter 5, 31 and 32 is where we'll be looking at today. If you remember, as we go back, we've been teaching. Our couple last month, we was talking about, for I say to you that, and this is Matthew 5, 20, for I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then we have the six illustrations, Jesus saying, this is what they say about the law. This is what how they've tainted the law. This is how they've misinterpreted the law. And this is what I say. And so we're into that third week. If you remember, in 21 through 26, it says about murder and how the Pharisees were saying, yeah, we're not murderers. We've never killed anybody. But then he says, but if you've looked with this anger in your heart and said, called out against your brother that you've murdered him. And then we were talking last week about adultery and how the Pharisees said, hey, that we've never committed adultery. But Jesus said, but if you've looked on a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery already. And so we continue on today when Jesus is teaching on divorce. And it goes on with this idea of adultery in the heart. It goes on with this idea of the Pharisees thinking as long as they haven't done it, you know, they're okay. But Jesus is going to see they also were abusing the idea of divorce and remarriage. And I know, listen, I'm so glad for expository preaching, okay? You know why? Because it makes you preach the whole word. And things that other pastors these titles and touchy subjects that most people would avoid, when you preach to the whole word of God, you preach the whole word of God. And that's why expository preaching is so important. I know this is a touchy subject. I know it touches about everybody in this room in some form or the other. And so I'm going to be very grateful, but we're also going to see what the word of God says and what Jesus is teaching on this, because they had abused it. And we abuse it today, by the way, in our society, so we can draw strength from this. You know that God's plan for our world and nation is the family. It's the family. Why is the family being attacked so greatly today in our society? Is because it's everything devil can aim at. He aims at the family. Why? Because that's what God's plan was for the family and for our nation, for our world and a nation. And yet at the center, I want you to think about, for the most part, our nation and the world has rejected God's plan. We want to come up with something different. We're living in a time of throwaway marriages and tossed away kids. And I want you to know that today that we're going to see through God's grace what His idea of marriage is and what it isn't. And we're going to see what Jesus has to teach us about it. So stand to your feet, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. The Word of God says, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Jesus says, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Father, in Jesus' name I pray, you will teach us and show us through your word exactly what that is that you're trying to show us. I pray today that your grace, your love, and your mercy will go be evident and go forward. Touch our lives right where we're at, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. First, I want us to look at the Pharisees' teaching, verse 31, where it says, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. I want you to know Jesus is addressing he's addressing this idea of divorce. And remember, he's trying to combat what the Pharisees and how they saw and what they saw marriage. In Jesus' time, marriage and divorce was very prevalent. It is today also. Things never change, does it? Some things never change. And I want you to know that Jesus is going to address and show us. He actually addresses this topic greater in Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to turn there just right quick so that we could see his greater length in this teaching. Matthew chapter 19, 3 through 9. And you'll see, and we'll be able to address some of the things that's brought up, the certificate and all that. Listen what Matthew 19 says. 3 through 9 says, it says, "And the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he said to him, to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So we see Jesus' teaching here. I want you to know the question is, what they asked, the Pharisees came to him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any just reason?" That's the question. And if I want you to know, that's the question for today also. It's the same question. Do you know that 50% of all marriages since the 1980s end in divorce? 50% since the 1980s. Over 1 million children every year in divorce procedures. 1 million children. It is a topic and an issue that we have to address as a nation and as a church. Christianity, the percentages are the same in Christianity also, by the way. We're no different than the world, 50%. So we need to address it and how Jesus looks at it, and we'll see these situations and we go. A lot of confusion, a lot of criticism around this question then and as also as now. I want you to know there were two rabbinic teachings in Jesus' time, so I set the context so he understands what he's addressing. The rabbinic school of Hillel, which is Rabbi Hillel, he taught that the husband was directly in control of everything. That as the wife, and he would use it, he'll misquote the scripture in Deuteronomy, and I'll show you that in a minute, that the wife, no, for whatever reason, if she could burn a meal, okay, she could burn a meal, and that was grounds for divorce. That's right. She could put too much salt in it. She could go out with a veil over her head. That was grounds for a divorce. That's what that school of Hillel taught. Shammai, the school of Shammai, was different. They taught they were very conservative. They taught there was no reason except for infidelity, immorality, that was the only reason for grounds of divorce. So it was these two schools that were butting heads all the time. And you can see these Pharisees coming to Jesus, and they're wanting to bring up this subject. They're wanting to stumble Jesus. They're wanting him to be against whichever. That was their mindset at all times. And that's the context of what they're saying. And where does this idea of certificate of divorce come from? And that's out of Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. And listen to verse 1. It says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house." So I want you to see this certificate of divorce, what they were doing was using this idea of because she finds no favor in his eyes because of some uncleanness. Now the school of Hillel would say that uncleanness means she can't cook very good. That's what they were doing. They were abusing the scriptures. Listen, we can take the scriptures and we do it today and make it say anything that we want it to say. And you see that day in and day out. You see many churches, you see many people, you see many pastors that take the Word of God and they'll make it say whatever they want to fit whatever situation. We cannot do that. We have to take the context of the situation and we have to apply it exactly where we're at. I want you to know that the Old Testament teaching on adultery, if you remember, in Leviticus 20:10 was stoning. So it's not talking about if she's caught in this in adultery. Because we know that the story of Jesus, when the lady was caught in adultery and they're getting ready to stone her, right? I mean, that went back to Old Testament time. So what is this uncleanliness, this idea of what is he speaking about here in Deuteronomy 24 and 1 through 4? He's speaking about this idea of her being unchaste, not only in adultery, but that she's not a woman of holiness. It's not talking about her burning the bread. It's not talking about her going out without a veil. It's talking about a mindset of uncleanliness in her life. It said Moses permitted. He didn't command it. He permitted it. Why? Because it's always the hardness of your heart. You realize that's the problem today, 50%. It's the hardness of our heart many times. God's idea for marriage is for it to last forever, till death do you part. When you make that covenant in front of a holy God and you're saying, death do us part, are we just mouthing that? It's a covenant before him. In Jesus' time, they were abusing this idea of uncleanliness and they were trying to stumble him. Listen, there are really only four positions that Christians take on divorce and remarriage. First one, no divorce for any reason. Second, divorce for unfaithfulness, but no remarriage. You can't ever remarry. Third one was divorce for unfaithfulness and remarriage, and remarriage is allowed. And the fourth, divorce for any reason or remarriage for any reason. So there's four positions that Christians often take. And I want you to know, we'll smirk. We laughed and giggled about that Hillel group, right, about their burning the bread. But I want you to know, this no-fault divorce that we have today is crazier than what it is. Think about it. It has nothing to do with it. We're irreconcilable differences. Listen, we fall in and out of love like the trees, the leaves falling off the trees right now, okay? That's our understanding of love. Well, I love you, but I'm just not in love with you. Ooh, that gripes me so bad. Who come up with that? It's a Hollywood understanding of what love is, okay? We've got to get back to the Scripture and back to the Bible about what love is. And it's a choice. It's a choice. It's not a ooey-gooey feeling. Sometimes I don't have that ooey-gooey feeling. Sometimes I do, and it's great. But sometimes we don't. I know she don't always have it with me, too. I'll pick on her till I know I reach that point, right? She'll say, you better leave me alone. It's like, you know what? I better do that. But it's not a gooey. I want you to know our love that we have is not an ooey-gooey feeling all the time, but it's a choice. It's a choice. It's not easy to stay married. And we're going to, don't let everybody beat yourself up. We'll get back around to everything before we're over. But I want you to know it's not an ooey-gooey film, but it's a choice in Jesus' name. And so in this time frame, they're trying to catch Jesus on what he believes. And he's going to tell us. Look what's the biblical answer. We have to go back to, I love in Matthew 19. And it says, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? We won't go to that issue there, but he's to touch on it there. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined for his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. The underlying question was wrong. Jesus' answer is, look back to the sanctity of marriage. Listen, Jesus didn't have no trouble going back to the beginning, to the Old Testament. Therefore, he's verifying the authority of all Scripture, okay? Where'd he go? He goes back to the first book, to Genesis. And what's he talking about? He's letting us know that the Scripture is authoritative and that it wasn't. Marriage is not a civil union. It has nothing to do with the state. It's a creation order. From the very beginning, the first thing that God does, he creates this beautiful world, makes it perfect. A perfect environment, then he creates this perfect man. Ladies, you'd say, amen, I ain't seen one of those, but listen. He created a perfect man, Adam. But you know what he says, and then when he looks at Adam, and he says, the first thing he says is, it's not good for what? For him to be alone. And so he makes a helpmate. He makes Adam fall asleep, and out of his rib, he forms this woman to complete him. It come from Jerry Maguire, you complete me. No, God completed, all right? God made the perfect mate for Adam. He made a perfect woman. Gentlemen, you might not have seen one, but Eve was, right? No perfect people in this room, by the way. But he made this perfect, and you know what he did? He united them in marriage. It was a creation order from the very beginning. That's why he says, listen, your question is wrong. You're right, and you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. You don't understand how you got in it and what God meant and what he meant for to be in the picture and the beauty of it. In the beginning, and society, think about it, hinges on marriages, on families, mom and dad and families, boys and girls and all that. So goes the family, so goes society. We're living it today. Look around, folks. What's the problem? What causes a young man to take a gun and go into a school and shoot everybody? No hope. No understanding of the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage. There's no sanctity anymore. People are hopeless and they need something to hold on to. And when you have no hope, you'll do anything. You'll do anything capable of it. Marriage has never been a temporary convenience. Divorce is breaking the seal that God Himself stamped. Not just a Christian order, but a creation order. That's why in Malachi, when God says, what's God's view on divorce? He said He hates it. Malachi 2:16. He was talking about, and they couldn't understand why everything was going wrong. And he says, man, you've treated the wife of your youth in a bad way. You've divorced your wife of your youth. You're just taking it. You're not looking at it for what it is. And he says, I hate divorce. That's what God says about divorce. And that's why we need to understand the biblical understanding of godly marriage, what it's based upon. It takes God to make a marriage work. It takes Jesus at the center of it. When the storms of life come, listen, it'll crumble. If it ain't built on the foundation, it will. But when it's built on the rock, you can withstand it all. And then it says, Jesus is pardoned. Look at verse 32. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Jesus is addressing their wrong thinking and really letting them know that the Shemai, that the idea of the only way to remarry or divorce is because of sexual infidelity, of sexual adultery. The Lord would see, you know what? The Lord would see all marriages reconciled. All marriages. We say to ourselves, Lord, is there, God, is there, okay, the Scripture's touching. Jesus says the only way that there's always any marriage can ever fail and be divorced is because of this idea of immorality or this adultery. Is there anything else that the Scripture says? Listen, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 7:13-15, and it's talking about an unbeliever and a believer being married. It says, a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. So they were living in that time in Corinthians. Remember, it was such a pagan place to live, and so people were coming to know Jesus. You'd have one that was married, one that wasn't, and so they're scratching their head saying, man, hey, I married this pagan over here. What am I supposed to do? He's still worshiping the idols and all this. Am I supposed to stay with him? Paul's addressing that. If he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. Paul said that's no reason to walk away because he's an unbeliever. But listen to this, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her husband. Otherwise, the children would be unclean. But listen now, but now they are both holy, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother and sister is no longer under bondage in such case, but God has called us to peace. So he's saying, listen, this unbeliever, if he walks away, said, you're no longer under bondage again. So we have adultery, we have an unbeliever that walks away. And those are the reasons God said that's the only reason for remarriage, or divorce and remarriage. But you know what? That is not what he's saying. That's, okay, this is a command, you can do this. That's not his idea. His idea is to reconcile. Just because somebody has cheated on somebody else, as bad as that might be, God would love to see that reconciliation and that forgiveness and marriages stay together. That's His heart. Let me comfort you this morning, though. I know that there's many of us here that deal with divorce, failed marriages, and some been through divorce. I want you to know something. We have a God of grace this morning. We have a God of grace, and you're not a second-class citizen. Be encouraged, my friend. You're not a second-class citizen, and you're not unusable. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. We have treated that in the church too long. We act like it's an unpardonable sin. Legalism many times says, oh, no, they're unusable. It doesn't matter what you put over in this category. They say, that's okay, they're forgiven. But, oh, this group, no, not forgiven. Unusable. We've got to be careful with that. The church is not to treat divorced people any other way. We're supposed to treat them with grace and mercy. God's forgiven. You know what? One day I'm afraid, my friend, that we're going to stand and give an account the way the church has treated divorced people. None of us have any stones to throw. You without sin cast the first stone. But yet, what did he say whenever he said, woman, where are your accusers? What did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Forgiveness is welcome for anybody that asks for it. All we have to do is ask forgiveness from God. If you have that, I like to call it the scarlet letter. Many times that's how it's treated. You have that scar, there is life beyond the scarlet letter, okay? You have that hanging over you, and all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. Then you go on forward in Jesus' name, and you don't beat yourself up. If you're divorced, all you have to do is repent. God has forgiven you. You're not a second class in any way. Listen to what Romans 8:1 says. You're a child of the King. Therefore, if there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, you will never stand condemned for any sin one of these days if you're under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Woo! Get a hold of that this morning now. Now, I don't know how the devil beats you up and what sin he might constantly remind you of, but the Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation. You will not stand before the Lord Jesus Christ condemned because of something in your past if you placed it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to get all of that freedom this morning. There's freedom here to be had. If you're beating yourself up and you're not being used of the Lord, you're not letting the Lord use you because of something in your past, give it to Jesus. Let it come under the blood of Christ because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Never stand condemned. Remember what Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Is that not what he said? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The church is not a show place for saints, but a hospital for sinners. No showboats here. You feel superior because of something that you have that somebody else does, that's not a God. When all those men had walked away, Jesus said, neither do I condemn. Be encouraged this morning. The teaching on the scriptural teaching on the Bible, God meant it from the very beginning. It was not a state. It didn't matter. All they were worried about was the paperwork. Okay? The proper paperwork, as long as they had that certificate going through the right order. They're just worried about the civil stuff, just like they were in the other things. Jesus said, you know what? I'm worried about your heart. Back to that again. And when we don't understand the proper ways of marriage, you know what? We're going to keep on with the same percentage. When we don't understand it, it's a God-ordained thing. It's a creation order. We'll approach it like the world does. You never go into marriage. Young people, listen. Never go into marriage with that option. I'm afraid that many go into marriage today with the option, well, it doesn't work out. You know what? We'll just go and try something else. That's no way that we go into a marriage. But I want you to know something today. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, the marriage that you're in is the one He's ordained. Live it and love it, and through grace and the grace of Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness if you're not asked for forgiveness, and go and live in Jesus' name in the power of the cross and the blood-stained banner of Christ. Live in that freedom. I want to ask you some questions. Do you understand that God forgives and forgets? Do you understand that? Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God? He forgives and He forgets. See, we've talked about this many times. We'll say, I forgive! But boy, we don't forget, do we? Never fails. I forgive, but don't you remember this? We can pull it up. Aren't you glad God's not that? In fact, He says He places it in the sea of forgetfulness. And you don't go fishing for it, alright? It's there and it's buried. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? You can't reach it, my friend. You forgive. to. Is there someone that you have mistreated or talked bad about that you need to ask forgiveness for this morning? No second-class citizens sitting right here in this room. Nobody unusable. All forgiven. If you've looked down on somebody because of your position, you need to ask forgiveness. Number three, what does the Lord want from you this morning? The purposes. Purpose to see your marriage as a gift from God. Do you see your marriage that way? It's a gift from God. Purpose in your heart to see that God, from the very beginning, never meant for man to be alone. And when the ooey-gooey feeling is not always there, you choose. Sometimes the gooey is so gooey you can't stand it. That's all right. Those are good times. Sometimes it's not. You choose, though. When it's built and the anchor is in Christ, it'll hold when the storms come. Purpose, no matter what comes your way, to love that wife, love that husband, and raise those kids in a godly home. What is it the Lord wants? Linda, if you'll come, start playing. Everybody stand to your feet. Just a question for you this morning. What is it? Have you drugged something around maybe? You've had a burden? Something's beat you up? Be a good day to just say, you know what, Lord, I'm laying that on the altar. I'm giving it to God this morning. Maybe you've been through this issue. Maybe it's something that's touched you and you haven't asked forgiveness for it. Lord, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. Maybe you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that this morning. You know what? I've never received Christ. I've never come under the blood-stained banner of Jesus. This would be a great morning for you to do that. Great morning. Whatever it is that the Lord wants from you, as Linda plays, don't wait. Come forward. Sing that chorus.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin.
Amen. Listen. Whatever the Lord said to you today, go out and live in grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Know that you're covered by the blood. Don't let Satan beat you up. Be used right where you're at. Be forgiven, but be used. And live for Jesus Christ. Listen, we live in a world that's hopeless. They need to see Jesus in you. Show them Christ. Tell them about Christ. Invite somebody to come to church with you next Sunday. Invite somebody to come. Listen, God's doing a work here. People get saved. Oh, my friend, it's not going to be completed. Unless it's you. You don't know Christ. See me. Nothing would tickle me more than tell you about Jesus and how to come to know Christ. Well, we're going to pray and dismiss. Sam, if you'll pray for us.